Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to another weekend, the second weekend in November. And of course, I can't believe how fast this year is going by. But anyways, we are so grateful that you are here. And if you are listening on the radio or you are listening on my podcast, I just want to ask you to connect with me throughout our socials so that we can be in touch with you and we can connect with you every day. Of course, our phone number here is 419-0008. That's 805-419-0008. I love to always share that you can stream with us here at kvta.com. And again, if you have someone or yourself that wants to be a guest on our show, please reach out to us. And of course, that is at kim@ktshow.org. We always start our show with something uplifting. And today's is, if you see someone without a smile, give them yours. That's really what the world is all about. I just saw a guy that had, it was an older man sitting on a bus bench, and it was pouring raining this last week. And he got out of his car as he was driving by and gave him the jacket off of his back. That just is like beautiful to me. And so that's what my show is all about. Anyways, with that, I am so excited. We've got an incredible show for you today. And I want to also just mention that if you're looking for to refinance your home or you need a new loan, all of our amazing sponsors, Main Street Mortgage, please reach out to Gina or John or their whole team. And also, if you're looking for a great restaurant to go and have dinner, the Manhattan of Camarillo. I'm going to give you their phone number right now, 805-388-5550. And great music, great entertainment, and great food. So, again, I really recommend them. All right, well, we're going to get started. And, of course, my first guest is France Windance. And, of course, her book is Geek Girls. And it's so funny, when we used to think of a geek, maybe somebody that was very studious, but this is all about really, we're going to find out a little bit more, but the long history of women in technology and mathematics. And so we're going to find out a little bit more. France Windance Twine was born in Chicago, Illinois, and spent most of her early life on Chicago's South Side working class community, and then she attended a Catholic school, and at the age of 16, she went to Northwestern University, where she earned her BA at the age of 20. I love that. From there, she's the research fellow at the Center for Advanced Study in Behavioral Science. Let's welcome France. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, and you are the author of Geek Girls. What is that exactly mean to you?
First, let me just say that I am a professor at the University of California, Santa Barbara in the sociology department.
Oh, you're in our neighborhood. Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. You know, that's wonderful.
When I was growing up, geek referred to men, right, or boys. So
correct.
I didn't know any geek girls, or at least I didn't think I knew it. Now, geek girls to me refers to women who have technical skills or work as coders or software engineers, people who design the apps on our phone, like what the architecture of our phone looks like. And so my understanding of a geek girl has really shifted during the past, I'd say, 10, 15 years, because I've spent more time in Silicon Valley and I've gotten to know a lot of women who work for companies like Facebook, Google, Twitter, Salesforce. And these women are relatively invisible until recently in popular culture. You don't really see a lot of them. I mean, that's starting to change. HBO did a produced a show years ago called Silicon Valley, but women, for the most part, were marginal in that show. You didn't really, they weren't central. So one of the reasons I wrote this book is I wanted to explain to a broad audience how women end up in Silicon Valley and how they end up in engineers, in computer science, and what pathways did they follow?
What pathways did most of them follow? Did you interview a bunch of different ladies and ask that question?
Yes. My book draws on interviews with about 100 people, both men and women, of very diverse backgrounds, Black, white, Asian, Native American. Here's what's really fascinating, Kim. I went into this study thinking that women who were software engineers all had degrees in computer science or engineering. But what I found out was among the women engineers, one-fourth of them had earned their degrees in arts and humanities, and that they shifted to a career in engineering, and that what they did is they went to all-women coding boot camps. So, Kim, in 2012, this new form of education emerged, and that is Accelerated Engineering Academy. These were places where you could go for 10 or 12 weeks, and you could basically, it was like, it's a boot camp, and you learn technical skills. You learn how to code. And the first coding boot camp for women came out of San Francisco. So San Francisco and Oakland, they had a coding boot camp for women, and it was called Hackbright Academy. And
I love this. So interesting.
Yes, isn't it? And that this was, when I started doing research for this book, these academies had just opened up. No one knew about them. No one was writing about it. I think what your audience will find interesting is that a lot of women who wanted to, quote, reset their careers, or let's say you took time off to raise your children or you had young children and you wanted to reset your skills and get back into the industry or enter it for the first time, you could go to an all-women's coding boot camp and within 3 to 6 months get a job in as a software engineer because you got integrated into women networks.
What a great source.
And this is something you hear much about.
No, you don't, because there are a lot of women. I mean, let's face it, if we are a mom, a lot of us take off that little bit of time and then we jump back in. But if you really want to, suck up that whole time with your children, right? And then just take it all in. And then you have to get back into the workforce and you come up and they're like, where's your experience, right? And so this would be a great place to really get back in the force. I love that. All-women coding. That's so cool.
Yeah. There aren't many of them, but there's one.
And where is that one located? Is that up north?
Yeah, so there's Hackbright Academy. There's the first one is in San Francisco. There's one in Oakland and one in San Jose. And then on the East Coast, there's one in New York. Here's the other thing that's really amazing, right? Women who didn't go to all-women coding boot camps, often they would feel marginalized if they were in classrooms and it was male-dominated. What was really great about this experience is these boot camps created a whole cohort of women engineers in Silicon Valley, and then these women were able to support and bring in more women and provide a community for them. Another issue is that a lot of women do have skills, but the tech industry is very dynamic, Kim, and so it's constantly changing, right? There are constantly new software, new languages. And so even if you have a degree in computer science or engineering, if you take off for a few years, you have to upgrade your skills. So you could do this. Some of the women started upgrading online through Coursera, right? So there were women who taught themselves to code and then went to these boot camps, and they were able to get integrated into a network of mentors.
That's beautiful. Let me ask you something, France. So are these online or are they in person?
When I started the research, they were all pretty much in person, but that's changed. So now they are both online and in person. I think most of them want you to spend some time in person, but I think the first couple of weeks you can do online, but it varies. But the key issue now is that now in the past you used to have to pay $12,000 up front for it. Now you can basically these courses, they will loan you the money for it, and once you get a job, then you can pay them back using a percentage of your salary over a few years. So now you don't have to have that kind of money up front.
Wow,
so
really great resource. Thank you for sharing that here. I mean, that's truly the brighter side, because that would just help so many women really get the edge, you know, that they need and skills. I mean, that's huge. What are we going to find in your book?
You're going to find a number of surprises.
The first surprise is, right.
You're going to get a history lesson. So the first, in the beginning of the book, I talk about women who've kind of been erased from history. And these are women who, during World War II, World War I and II, they worked in ballistics computation, and they were code breakers. Women basically were central to military intelligence, both for the British and the Americans. And they worked at these kind of the equivalent, not the CIA, but the equivalent of, say, our military institutes. So I don't think most people realize that beginning in the 19th and early 20th century, women really played a key role in the development of software and in the computing industry and computing technology, right?
Mm,
because of the fact that things had, there were a lot of top secret or classified, women were working on projects that were classified.
Mm-hmm.
And so really until the 1970s or 80s, there was a lot that we didn't know because their work was classified. Does this make sense? And
yeah.
So it was only recently that we even knew how many women were involved in computing and in artificial intelligence.
Wow.
So, you may or may not have heard of Lord Byron. He was a very famous British poet in the 19th century. So Lord Byron had this daughter named Ada Lovelace. And Augusta Ada Byron, she got married and became the Countess of Lovelace. She actually was the first person to write an algorithm, what we call an algorithm.
Right.
And that is, and she was doing this in the 1830s.
That's
okay.
Incredible.
She died of, I think it was ovarian cancer. She was the mother of three children. But women like her have just sort of not, like I said,
yeah, we don't hear a lot about those kind of things. You're absolutely right. I love this because I feel like we're getting a history lesson at the same time as empowering women. That's great. Let me ask you, France, so where did you find your book, first of all?
So my book, you can buy it online on Amazon.com. And the thing about my book is because I finished it during the pandemic, I was very aware that there are a lot of people who were exhausted or didn't have the focus. So my book is available as a digital book, as an audio book, as an ebook, and in print. And it's available on Amazon.com.
That's beautiful.
So if you don't want to read it, you can have someone read it to you because it's an audio book also.
Right. I love audiobooks. Gosh, that's great. So give us one inspiring tip. Not that you haven't already done that, but you have. But because you're a professor, and I'm sure that you see so many women that, especially after this pandemic, that just really got down and need to reboot their life, reboot their career. What would you say to do?
I would say, basically, be open to everything. Don't assume there's anything you can't do. And I think what's inspiring about my book is that there are women in this book that you meet who were working in kind of low-wage secretarial jobs or were underemployed, and they were able, through the support of other women and men, they were able to find a job that really enabled them to fulfill their dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And my advice is keep dreaming while awake.
I love that. Keep dreaming while you're awake. I love it.
Yes.
I love it. Grace Windance, thank you so much for being a guest here. I definitely want to read your book or at least listen to it. I love that option, you know. And thank you so much. Please share our show with everyone, too. And I look forward to following you.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's been great meeting you and everyone out there. If you want to find out about Silicon Valley from a female perspective, read the book or listen to it.
There you go. I love it. Thank you so much. All right,
thank
we
you.
Are going to take a really quick break. And, of course, you're listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And our next guest will be on, David Mucko. And he is an award-winning 30-year serial entrepreneur and lawyer. And, of course, we're going to talk about his book, Seven Secret Keys to Startup Success and Start and Run a Business Without Any Worries. All right, stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
Even good people can end up under investigation or facing a criminal charge. Ridley Defense can help start getting your life back on track. Bringing on a premier criminal defense team like Ridley Defense as early as possible gives you the greatest potential for a favorable outcome. Learn how Ridley Defense can help. Call 805-208-1866 for a complimentary consultation about your case. Ridley Defense provides the very best criminal defense representation you'll find in Ventura, Santa Barbara, and Los Angeles. They are dedicated to devoting their entire resources to defending you. For more information, visit RidleyDefense.com. That's RidleyDefense.com. Ridley Defense can help heal you and your family during the criminal justice process. Ridley Defense handles everything from DUI to the most serious crimes, including major felonies and appeals. Get a premier criminal defense team on your side. Visit RidleyDefense.com. That's RidleyDefense.com. Or call 805-208-1866 today.
Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley, is a locally owned, multi-regional classic Italian restaurant with an extensive wine list. You'll be greeted with warm, friendly, attentive service. Wednesday evenings from 3 to 8 p.m., Manhattan of Camarillo offers a signature three-course menu for $25. For a bit more casual atmosphere, check out Trivia Thursdays in their beer garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. If you're into live music, come see some of Ventura County's premier local talent where you can dance the night away on a large dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine and banquet room holds up to 40 people. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Dinner is served Tuesday through Saturday with easy access off the 101 at Pleasant Valley Road.
Call today for a reservation at 805-388-5550.
That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com.
Main Street Mortgage guides and educates clients based on three fundamental principles coined by America's homeownership coach, John W. Mallett, which form the basis of their unique approach to building wealth and well-being through homeownership. When followed, these principles result in their clients' successful purchase of their home and lay a strong foundation for sustained homeownership. Main Street Mortgage's mission, purpose, and goals are to provide you with the tools to finance and purchase your dream home. Come one step closer to homeownership by contacting Gina at 818-874-9900. That's 818-874-9900. Don't put your dreams on hold any longer. Call today.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out SurvivalSwimWithKim.com. That's SurvivalSwimWithKim.com or call Kim at 805-620-6000. 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show every Saturday. And also, I do want to remind you to download our podcast, and that is the Kim Pagano Show on all platforms. And of course, take us with you and don't keep us a secret. My next guest is David Mucko. And of course, he is a managing partner of Mucko Law and a 30-year business expert, serial entrepreneur, corporate lawyer, and an inventor who has advised hundreds of businesses. He teaches law, business, and entrepreneurship at the Walsh School of Foreign Service, Georgetown. And David has helped turn ideas into publicity and also trading companies, and was an officer of $1 billion publicly traded mutual fund. Let's bring David on. And of course, David is his newest book, The 7 Secret Keys to Startup Success and Start and Run Your Business Without Worries. Wouldn't that be nice? I love it. David, welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Hi, thanks so much, Kim, for having me.
Yeah, talk to us a little bit about, first of all, is this your first book?
No, this is number 5, but
of
most
course.
Of my earlier ones have been kind of straight-up law and business books, and so I decided in this one to kind of change things up and add an adventure story to the book as well.
Ooh, okay. So when you say an adventure story, I love a story. So, you know, obviously you're all starting to talk about smarter ways to start and run your companies, right? For our listeners
right.
out there. What is it? What's the story? I mean, we can't give it away because we want everybody to get your book. But was there a story that you learned from all your experience?
Well, that's exactly right. Over the years, Kim, and I guess one of the things the readers or the listeners might well wonder is why another business book? There are something like 2,000 business books coming out every year. And so what is different about this one and why would I write it? Well, in my legal practice, what I've found for startups and growing businesses is a tremendous disconnect between what these people need and the kinds of business books that are available to them. And what I find my clients are asking me about are very practical, specific questions that allow them to figure out what to do and what not to do in order to be successful and avoid what I call startup suicide, which is, you know, mistakes you make, but you sometimes don't even know you're making them. So
right.
my clients are asking me things like, should I incorporate in Delaware, and how can I fire an employee and not get sued, and how can I protect my intellectual property? Unfortunately, a lot of the business books out there tend to be fairly theoretical, and so they don't really answer some of the questions that, you know, people have when they're starting a business. So that's one of the reasons why I wrote this book, to make it the most practical and comprehensive business and legal books for startups and growing companies, and just walk them through everything to do and not to do step by step.
I love that. So, I mean, there's a lot of people that tell how to run a business, but those are like, these are like the dark, deep secrets. You actually call it the startup suicide. I mean, you know, there's things that you think you're doing a great job, and all of a sudden, you know, you either have an employee that gets hurt or an employee that, you know, didn't work out, and then all of a sudden they come back to you. So this is really learning how to protect yourself, correct?
That's exactly right. Think of, you know, for those who have ever snow skied, when I was a kid, learned how they took me up to the bunny slope, and the first thing they told me were all the things not to do. Don't point your skis downhill and keep them parallel, or that's where you're going to end up.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, a lot of startup people don't know what to do, when to do it, how to save money on lawyers, how not to do stupid things, not because they're stupid, but because they don't know. For example,
right.
if you blog about your secret invention in the wrong way, you can lose your rights to patent in the future. And, you know, a lot of my clients have discovered that, unfortunately, and, you know, really embarrassed, and it can end the company. Or if you don't put things in writing with your partners, you may end up getting sued because everybody has a different expectation as to what their rights and responsibilities are.
So let's go back to, you are a business attorney, correct?
Right. I have a sort of a checkered career. It's more like a ping pong ball than fairly linear. But I'm the managing partner of Mucco Law in Arlington, Virginia. But I've also been a CEO of a number of companies. You know, I've taken work to help take companies public, you know, up to billion-dollar plus level. But I'm also an inventor, an investor, and have been on the shop room floor and handled litigation and so forth. So my book is holistic, more so than most books in the space, because I've kind of done everything in this space. I've also been a prosecutor, worked in the White House, worked on Capitol Hill, been a lobbyist and so forth. So it's a much more practical, I've tried to write a much more practical business book for folks who just want to know, what do I do step by step?
Yeah, I love that. Wow. So you talk about this, why 8 out of 10 startups fail and what to do, but also what not to do to avoid what you said, startup suicide. What are, let's give us the top three of what to do.
Yeah, that's a really good question, Kim.
Thank you.
And, you know, the first thing that you want to do is to be humble, recognize that we're all a piece of Swiss cheese. You know, there's some stuff that we know and stuff we don't know. And if usually entrepreneurs are really good at a couple of things, and, you know, they may be really good at writing code for a new software platform, but it's kind of like the drummer in an orchestra. He knows everything about drumming and he's great, but then all of a sudden he or she becomes the orchestra leader. And now you're drinking from a fire hose. You have to know about marketing, finance, and legal, and you have to build a product or service. So the first thing you do is recognize your own humility and listen to other people, and get advice, and build a professional team to fill in those gaps that of things you don't have. Then you got to raise enough money to survive what's called the valley of death, which is that financial point where you hit up all your relatives for money and you've spent all your money and so forth, but you haven't got any money coming in, and you are going to die a painful death if you don't plan right on a profit and loss statement. And then you've got to put important business decisions in writing so there's no misunderstanding. A classic case happens all the time. You've got a CEO hasn't got any money to pay somebody with a startup. So he says, oh, don't worry, I'll take care of you. And 3 years later, when the company's worth $10 million, that employee comes back with a lawyer this time and says, hey, you told me you'd take care of you. I'm responsible for 30% of your success. So give me 30% of $10 million, but, you know, I'll take $3 million and round it off.
Interesting. Really interesting. You know what this really just proves to know is, you know, the saying, you don't know what you don't know, right?
Exactly.
And it's not
right.
Anything against us. It's just, I heard this even, I saw this or somewhere it was written, like, if you're doing your filing, then you're an assistant. You know what I mean? Sometimes you need all those players. Like, you can't have a baseball team without people. You can't be your own. So it's kind of like gathering all the information so that you can have a successful business, correct?
Well, that's right. And I've certainly made a lot of mistakes, but hopefully those and ones that I've seen other people make, this book can help Seven Secret Keys to Startup Success can help other people, you know, avoid those mistakes. And the dollar impact of this at the macro level, Kim, is huge. I mean, there are likely trillions of dollars lost to the economy from 8 out of 10 startups failing. It's like a hole in our whole economic boat. Think if we could have had thousands more companies like Microsoft and Apple. Apple's got a market cap of, you know, maybe $2 trillion. The total U.S. GDP is only $25 trillion. Think if we could have had thousands more companies, what that could have done for the economy. And that's why this stuff's important.
That's great. Now, you talk about cutting legal expenses and managing lawyers, and as you are one, right? Talk to us about that.
Well, I still have my bar card, even though I do talk a lot about how to reduce legal expenses, which most other lawyers, for whatever reason, don't seem to talk too much about. But one of the things that you can do as a startup or a growing business or any business is to say, hey, I don't have a lot of money here. What can we do? Let's negotiate. Lawyers do deals. Let's negotiate a deal on my legal expenses. Can we defer the costs? I don't want to use a partner unless it's absolutely necessary because it might cost three times the cost of an associate. But a lot of things that startups do are somewhat routine, so they can be done by less expensive attorneys. And please don't engage another attorney to try to develop me as a client without my permission. And when I ask you a question, don't write a law review article with 100 footnotes. I just want a simple answer, and those things can really save you some money.
That's really interesting. One last thing that I want to ask you is, a lot of times, we hire our employees with the best of intentions, but sometimes it doesn't work out, and you need to fire them, or partners even, without getting sued. Talk to us about that. That's something you have in your book too.
Well, it is, and this is one of the major reasons why startups fail, because you spend more time with your partner sometimes than you do with your significant other. But you need to outline up front what the responsibilities are, put it in writing, and in the 7 secret keys of startup success, to make the book fun, like I mentioned, I've created a character called Scooter McGee, who's a professor at Georgetown and travels around in his old Austin Healey convertible that I used to have. And he gets caught up with adventures that involve these kinds of questions, like with the CIA and the mob, and the secret agent. And I think it's kind of like Professor Indiana Jones in Raiders of the Lost Ark meets Silicon Valley. It's after every chapter on the substantive legal and business things, there's the continuing fun story of Scooter McGee to make this hopefully one of the more interesting legal business books you've read.
I love it. And also, I did want to mention to our listeners out there that, one, they can go to davidmuckoauthor.com, and you have a trailer there, correct?
Yeah, we've got a trailer. We have more information on the book. It's available in all the usual places, Amazon and your local bookstore and online and so forth.
Well, David, I can't wait to read mine. And, of course, please download our podcast, share our show with everyone. And thank you for contributing to really help the world in another way. I think I always say many hands make little work. So I love that. David, great talking with you.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be on your show, Kim. Thank you so much for having me.
You got it. All right, keep up the great work. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, take care. All right, we are going to move right on to our next guest, and it is Rebecca Morrison. I love this because this is like so up my alley, The Happiness Recipe, A Powerful Guide to Living What Really Matters. And Becky goes under Becky, I hope, but she's a lawyer turned leadership and happiness coach on a mission to spread joy by helping people discover what they need to live happier, lead happier, and build happier business. So, Becky, are you there?
I am here, Kim. Thank you so much for having me.
You're so welcome. I love this. I'm all about happy. And, it's funny because you talk about this a little bit is, I don't even think that our, the world today, we live by goal setting, and we get to our goal and we're already on to the next one instead of going, yes, I did it. Let's just see how that feels, because we're already on to the next one. And I have learned to just Really, that's like probably one of my goals, is to just be happy with one thing that we have instead of always already reaching for that next one.
Absolutely. The image I have when I think about that, and this might sound kind of quirky, but it works for me, is like you went out, you bought a bed, and you designed the bed, like the perfect layered bed with the right blankets and the right pillows, and you got this beautiful bed in front of you. Your goal was to make the most comfortable bed. And then rather than laying in the bed, you're like, okay, next bed.
Yeah, I get it. I get it because you come from my decorating. That's it. You know, I like, okay, that room's done. Now go to the next one instead of going,
yep.
Oh, I'm just going to sit in here, you know? So
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's research that suggests that when we add, and what you're really talking about is two things, celebrating and savoring. And that when we add those practices, we can actually, dramatically and meaningfully impact our overall well-being.
Right.
Just
right.
By sort of prioritizing the positivity of those moments.
I love it. So tell us a little bit about you and is this your first book, first of all?
It is my first book. Yeah.
Congratulations. That's awesome. So,
thank you.
Yeah. And so tell us a little bit about yourself.
I mean, so I'm going to start not all the way at the beginning, but I'm going to rewind a chunk of time to me as a younger woman. I'm 3 years or so out of law school, maybe a little less. And I find myself one evening, I'm a litigation associate at a large law firm. We're working on a big trial. And I find myself one evening on the floor of the bathroom with my toddler in the bath. And I've got the cordless phone clipped to the back of my pants, and I've got papers spread everywhere, and I've got my notebook on the closed toilet seat, and I am doing two things at the same time. I am trying to bathe my toddler and get her ready for bed, and
That's called multitasking.
Also,
I used to do that, and now I don't know if I can't or I don't want to. I'm like, no, I can't do that now, and I have 4 children, and trust me, I wonder how I got through that part of my life, you know, with a couple businesses and 4 children. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I could go on and on about how multitasking is the biggest myth there is, but put a pin in that for a second, and let me just tell you where this moment landed me, which was, you know, I'm on the phone with the experts, prepping them for their deposition. I'm bathing my toddler. And I had 2 thoughts kind of in quick succession, and you hit on it. The first thought was like, look at me. I'm really like killing it. I'm juggling all this stuff. I'm multitasking. I'm here with my daughter. I'm succeeding at work. And the second thought was, but am I happy? Is this really it?
Wow.
And that led me on kind of a lifelong journey in my career to figure out in each season of my life what it was that was going to make sense for me, not for anyone else, but for me. Fast forward to a few years ago, I found myself at another career crossroads and thought, what I would really like to do is bring my history of sort of people and process and use it to help people architect lives and careers that work for them. And so that's how my coaching business and this book were born.
I love that. I love that. You know what? And, you know, people, let me say this. There's people that are married and they think they're happily married, but they feel alone. There's people that have reached their career and they're so excited to get where they are. And then that's not really ending up to be their goal. So how do you know? How do you give in to that? It's like, you know, my dad always taught me, it's like you keep going down one road, and if that's not working, it's not give up. You just try a different road. Is that kind of what you would recommend, or how do you figure that out?
Well, let me start at a high level and just say that, you know, I was speaking somewhere kind of early in the process with my book, and I talked about how in my career and in my life, I've taken a lot of left turns. And somebody aptly pointed out that if you take enough left turns, aren't you back where you started? But actually, what I think I've done is sort of like each turn has brought me closer to the center of who I truly am and what I'm truly here to do. So how do you start making those turns? And I've gotten 2 steps that are big steps, have a lot in them, but I want to throw it out there. One is you slow down. The first and most important thing is to create some space in your life where you can actually tune into your present reality, tune into what your mind and your gut and your heart and your soul are telling you. And that brings me to the second step, which is to engage in an honest conversation with yourself. actually listen to that little voice that you've maybe been ignoring that's saying this isn't working, or I could have more, or I want more, or I want to figure out how I can have more. And those two steps really unlock kind of a whole world of possibility, at least when I do that work with my clients, as to where we can go from here. And for some people, it's radically changing their circumstances. And for other people, it's radically changing the way they think. And for still other people, it's radically changing their daily habits. So I don't have one answer because everyone is unique, but really opening the door by creating some time and space, by slowing down, and then by allowing that honest conversation is the first step.
I love that. I love that a lot. Do you think that there is actually a formula for maximum happiness?
I mean, I do, but again,
okay. Or like a recipe,
Yeah. So, I mean, my formula for maximum happiness that I apply in virtually every circumstance, and again, you might be a little disappointed when I tell you this, but it's do more of what matters most to you in this season and less of the rest.
Okay. So do more that again to me.
Do more of what matters to you most in this season and less of the rest.
Okay. I like it.
And it's nice and simple, but just like a law, it might have a few words, but it's really complicated to implement, right? And there's a lot of layers to it.
Right. I love that. Do more of what matters and less of the rest. And you said in this season, because there is different seasons of our life, right?
100%.
Wow.
And I go, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go. I'm excited to hear this.
Well, and I take the concept of seasons. I mean, so I had encountered this before, and, you know, people would talk about seasons kind of in the same concept that we would seasons in the climate, right? Like you have the spring of your life and the summer of your life and the winter of your life. My concept is a little more, a little deeper, like a level deeper. So you have seasons and they might be short and they might be long. Like we are about to enter the holiday season in the United States, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is its own kind of, for me personally and my behavior and what I need to prioritize might be its own kind of micro season within a broader season where I'm working on building my business and that's my top priority, right? And so it's acknowledging those shifts in seasons. And the most dramatic version I saw of this is when, you know, March 2020 rolled around and the world shut down, I saw a lot of people continuing to try to prioritize the same goals that they were prioritizing in February of 2020 without acknowledging that the entire playing field had shifted. And
right.
So it's that it's acknowledgement when external factors shift your playing field. How do you want to play? What do you need to do to quote unquote win? What rules are you playing by? What are the limitations? What might you simply not be able to do in this season?
Wow. I love that. Becky, I love that because you're absolutely right. It was unknown, first of all. So that was scary during the pandemic. But in one way, it was so winning for me personally, because I didn't realize how fast I was going 24/7 and not taking the time to smell the roses or to, you know, really check in with my life. So I had that time, was like, whoa, I'm going to like clean out my house, and I was already on a journey because, you know, of like really simplifying my life, but that even just gave me permission to do that.
Yes.
And so, I love that. And you know what? And I love what you just said about each season you have to look at, like the holidays. I lost my mom 6 years ago. So it's always kind of a hard time for me. And it's hard because my kids aren't little anymore. And now I have to share them with their in-laws. And, you know, it's like, can you guys just all be at the house? And that doesn't work anymore. So now I have to look at what's my playing field, what's going to make me win. And so I love that. That helps a lot. So thank you.
The biggest part of that, right, is like giving yourself permission to acknowledge the reality of the present and then to make an intentional choice about what you're going to do given those facts, what you're going to prioritize, right? What are you going to make time for? What might you set down for a little bit? What might you say no to? I mean, it's all of that boundary setting and sort of communication around what's important to me in this season.
Yeah, I love it. And happiness during transitions. Okay, if things are, maybe you're moving or maybe you're going through a hard time, what could you take off your plate to just get through it, correct?
Correct. What can you do? I mean, so like people in the United States in particular, people treat that like less of the rest piece of that formula I gave you as like a throwaway piece. They're like, oh yeah, more of what matters, more is more, right? And actually, I think the less of the rest is the most critical piece. It's figuring out what is draining your time, your resources, and your energy. And that's the one that people often don't think about, that you could let go of, that's not bringing the value to you in return, so that you can free up space for more of what does matter to you.
Mm. The last thing, and I'm going to have to bring you back because this is so interesting to me. And this is something about I do business media coaching, but I would love to connect with you. Inviting your nervous system to be a partner in your progress. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. So I'll try to keep this pretty simple.
Yeah, we have like literally 1 minute, but I'm going to bring
fine.
You back. But yeah.
And it is actually this simple. One of the primary jobs of your nervous system is to keep you safe. It doesn't care, and it's not evaluating whether the change you're trying to make is actually going to be better than where you are today. What it's looking at is, are you safe today? So that when you start to make change, it's going to raise its hand and say, no, please don't change anything. We've got it figured out in these circumstances. And so having an awareness that oftentimes what holds us back is some pattern of our nervous system that's telling us going there, being seen, playing bigger, putting up boundary in place is not safe. But again, it's an old, outdated pattern. And so learning to sort of acknowledge that pattern, to thank that pattern for what it's trying to do, which is to keep you safe, and then to remind it that you understand and will do your job as a thinking adult person to keep yourself safe, and that this is a change that you want to explore.
I love this. Rebecca Morrison, her book, The Happiness Guide, A Powerful Guide to Living What Matters, and I think everybody should get a copy of it. I am going to. And please share our show with everyone. And I'd love to connect. Reach out to me on our socials for sure.
Will do. Awesome. Right. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Please share our show with everybody and download our podcast.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Take care. All right. We are going to bring our next guest on, and Dr. Sharizian, and how the holidays can impact women's health in unexpected ways. Let's bring her on.
This holiday is the most wonderful time of the year. It's quickly approaching, of course, but it also has long days. And we're going to talk a little bit about what that means for women with cooking and prepping the home and entertaining and shopping and all that stuff. It's like all of a sudden that normal routine starts to become stress, and we have stress on our body. So again, Dr. Sharizian, please tell us a little bit about yourself and, of course, what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, I am a gynecologist and gynecologic surgeon based out of New York City. I'm a women's health advocate. And I, you know, really think it's important that women understand their bodies and their health needs. So the most important thing to know is that the holiday season is a time of high stress. So you mentioned we're kind of running around doing a million things. I think some of the things that add to that are we have people in the home, we're entertaining, or we're traveling. You know, we're also going to maybe holiday parties, we're eating higher sugar diets, and we're getting less sleep. And I think all of those things equal a decreased immune system, more stress, and can leave us vulnerable to infection. So it's really, really important that we understand our symptoms and we kind of take note of our bodies and pay attention, you know, to the things we need.
I love that. You know, I mean, we have everybody else on top of our list, and sometimes we forget to put ourselves on there. And so when our bodies are talking to us, you know, those are the signs that something is off, right? And, you know, a lot of times, like for me, I take my walks every day. That is like my time to just like feed my body, feed my soul. And sometimes like those things have to go to the side, and it's so hard to keep yourself on track. So all of a sudden you start feeling like these, you know, maybe a little stiff, maybe sore, you know, stomach aches. I don't know. Just what are the solutions for that?
Yeah, I think, you know, some of the more common symptoms, you know, that we notice are things like fatigue and also even headache. So I think mm-hmm. these symptoms can mean, you know, we really need to take that extra time and do those walks that you just mentioned, because that's wonderful, like a wonderful day, a way to de-stress and to make sure that we're meeting our health needs and to kind of clear our minds. You know, you want to empower your body to kind of fight those infections. So I think sleep and hydration are really, really important, you know, to fight headaches and fatigue. Right. I think also a lot of women notice, you know, feminine discomfort. They notice itching or discharge, which are fairly common symptoms at this time of year because of the high sugar and the stress. It can really throw things off. So I think if you think you're suffering from something like that, from a vaginal infection, mm-hmm. you should go to the Monistat symptom checker and plug in those symptoms and see if you have a yeast infection or a vaginal infection.
So let me ask you, so you're saying just the intake of sugar just could bring all of that on. I mean, you know, so many years ago, we didn't realize what sugar does to our body, correct?
Right. Sugar is not good. Sugar and alcohol has sugar. So, you know, again, I'll go back to the holiday party. It's sort of the time of year. You know, we're drinking lots more than maybe we typically do. We're, you know, having eggnog, you know, we're having, you know, I was talking to someone about mimosas earlier, you know, we're having these drinks that we don't usually have. And we're also eating a lot of cakes and cookies and other things. So there there's definitely more sugar.
So let me ask you, a lot of people try to, I guess, solve their own problems, DIY, right? Solutions. What's your thoughts on that?
I think that can be a really big problem, because a lot of my mm-hmm. patients go online and they look at social media and they try and come up with a do-it-yourself fix to a lot of things. I just think, you know, the reality is that most of those other things don't work. You really want to find mm-hmm. tried and true solutions that have been around a long time that will just take care of it so it doesn't become a persistent issue. So, you know, I tell a lot of my patients that if they notice symptoms of a yeast infection, that mm-hmm. they should just go to their local drugstore and grab a 1, 3, or 7 day course of Monistat and give it a try, because often that will just take care of your yeast infection. You don't need to go to the doctor. You don't need a prescription. You know,
and
you want to.
So it's over the counter.
Oh, over the
easy
counter.
Breezy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Easy.
Okay.
Breezy.
Cool. Okay. I like that. And one other thing. So, is there any other tips that you can share to help ensure a seamless holiday season?
Yes, definitely. Like we were saying before, keep up that immune system. So that means pay attention to your mental health and get on those walks and meditation and other things that help you unwind. Make sure you're taking, you know, some extra vitamins, maybe vitamin C and zinc. Those are great. And sleep, making sure you're getting enough sleep. I think those, and hydration, water too.
Right.
I mean, those are the main things.
Sleep
yeah.
is so important. It's underrated. I used to think like, oh, I don't need any sleep. I could just keep going. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh my gosh, I think that is my time, my downtime. It's almost like walking. It's your downtime to rejuvenate your body, correct?
Absolutely. Sleep is just the best thing. And most of us don't get enough of it because, you know, we have busy work and jobs and kids and all these other things that people are worried about, women especially. So it really is your time. So make sure you cherish it and don't give away the sleep time. Make
there
sure
you
sleep.
Go. I love it. Dr. Sarazian, thank you so much for being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show. And how do we find out more about you and, of course, all your tips that you share with everyone?
Yeah. So for the products that I mentioned, you can go to monistat.com. And I am on Instagram at Dr. Sarazian. So if anyone wants
okay.
to.
Okay. Let's connect. And I love you also do Mommy Matters, correct?
Yes, I do. I focus on pregnancy.
Yeah, we'll have to have you back and talk about that, because I think, you know, there's just little things that can help us every single day. And so I love that. I love having, you know, it's the brighter side of life. That's what my show is all about. So it's anything that my listeners can tune in and hear and learn something from it. So thank you again.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. Thank you. Thanks so much.
All right. Happy holidays. Isn't that scary?
Happy
it's
holidays.
Time.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank
Take
you
care.
Too.
Thank
Have
you.
A good one. No stress.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Yes, I am. I'm all about letting it, taking it the easy way, right? So, all right. Thank you again. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much. We had some amazing guests. I hope they inspired you, and I hope that you either get their book or look them up and figure out how to work with them. Also, I want to say thank you to all my sponsors. And of course, I was just remembering a friend that I just went to her celebration of life. And I love this. I reached out to her family, Christine Nepstead. She'd been a guest on my show and a friend of mine. And her thing is, set the life out of every day. I just love that. With that, you've been listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And I'll talk to you next week.